You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up today. Our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, is going to be here. Amicus airs, by the way, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. He is a former U.S. attorney. He's an acting attorney.
Yes.
And there's a lot going on in the legal world.
Yes.
Involving the Trump administration.
And his Thursday, stop-bys, his joining the show every Thursday is a nice... is a nice little introduction to what he does on Saturdays.
These
are both deep dives, but incredibly digestible discussions he has. Well, he's not even, it's him. He is talking for 2 hours, but it is all pertinent. It's relevant. It affects us.
Yes.
Whether he's talking about decisions coming out of the Supreme Court or how other decisions affect what goes on in our lives. That's 9 to 11 every Saturday. And if you can't listen to it live, you could always download it by going to civicmedia.us/shows.
Great podcast.
Look for that or subscribe to it as a podcast, as you can do with this show as well.
Yes. All of the shows you can download as podcasts.
Follow us on social media, too. We're kind of blowing up on Instagram. What's up?
We got a thing.
We got a video that's for us. I know for some people, they're like, adorable.
Aren't you cute?
650,000 views. That's adorable.
For us, that's a lot.
That's amazing. People are looking at our faces. My gosh, that's a lot of faces.
So Jim Santel will be here. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Epstein files. We're also going to talk about this prosecution that the Trump administration wants to bring against James Comey. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's going well for them. Wow.
You know, if you're going to go after your enemies, at least hire a good lawyer.
No, you hire them based on their looks. Everybody knows.
You're telling
that.
Me you can't find a hot, that goes for men or women or in between. I don't care. Everyone can be hot. Loyal, smart lawyer. Like you can't go somewhere and find that combination.
Well, and actually loyal would be first. Over looks.
If it's lady, it's looks loyal. If it's a man, it's loyal looks. That's how that works.
Fair enough.
And if it's his children, he doesn't want to call them back.
Right. Jim Santel coming up after the 9:30 news. In hour number two, we did talk about this yesterday, and we're going to talk about it again, about healthcare. Mm-hmm. And Bill Cassidy is in our Congress.
He's a
doctor.
He is actually if I'm not mistaken, he's a U.S. senator. He's a U.S. Senator.
Senator Bill Cassidy is a doctor.
From Louisiana.
Mm. And this $2,000 that they're talking about sending everybody for health insurance.
Oh, my good gravy.
He's got a great explanation on how this is going to work, everybody.
Listen up, ladies. This one involves you.
Yes. Making us smart consumers, mm-hmm. ladies. So we'll talk about that to kick off hour number two. Then we'll lighten it up after 10:30 with Audio Sorbet.
Ooh.
The Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan is going to join us to talk all things sports. We will talk about the Packers and the Bucks, and we'll just pretend the Badgers don't exist.
A yes or no, Calvin. Badgers and Packers, or Packers and Bucks, there's too many teams. Are they sucking right now? I have no idea. I don't pay attention to football.
Well, Giannis got hurt, right, Calvin?
Yeah, so the Bucks are sort of struggling, and Giannis is going to be out for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And the Badgers are not doing great. I can't remember what happened last week, but the week before that, they won a pretty surprisingly big game for them.
All right. Well, then we'll talk more about it with Paul. Once Brewers is over...
You kind of check out.
I kind of check out.
Yeah. And then we'll end the show as we always do with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing Today, Dude, Where's My Driveway?" edition. It's a good one. Calvin found this one that will come up at the very end of the show. Wanted to start off with things at home, though. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jesse Opoyan, who does a great job.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Has the byline. The headline reads, Speaker Robin Voss thwarts procedural move to force vote on expanding Medicaid for new mothers.
Okay, Jane, I've mentioned this before. This isn't so much FCC compliance, but this is more show compliance. Whenever we speak about the assembly speaker, he must be introduced with his theme song, which Calvin laboriously put together.
Yes.
So, Calvin, can we, before we move on, can we at least give him the proper respect he deserves?
There we go.
Ah, yes. The popcorn king has arrived.
Yeah. Wisconsin, it's Robin State. We just get to live here. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
One man stops pretty much all the progress in Wisconsin, and that one man is Robin Voss.
Yeah.
Despite many of their members backing the bill, Republicans thwarted an effort by Democrats to expand Medicaid coverage for moms who have just given birth. We've talked about this numerous times.
Oh my gosh.
With Dr. Kristen Lierley and other guests as well.
Mm-hmm.
We are the only state. It's us and Arkansas.
Yep.
Yay.
Yeah.
Who have not expanded Medicaid coverage for new moms up to a year.
And this isn't about free health care. This isn't about Obamacare. This isn't about all of the things that make, I believe, access to health insurance, or specifically the ACA, these ACA dollars that we've been offered for, well, since 2010. It's not about any of that, really. It's about simply saying, instead of, I believe the current is 3 months.
It's 2 months.
It's two. Wow.
60 days. Or no, I'm sorry. It's 60 days. It's 3 months.
No, that's 2 days.
No, that's just 2 months. Jeez. Don't make
the popcorn king has arrived. Okay.
Math out loud.
So it's 2 months currently for women who have access to Medicaid for
the first 2 months after giving birth.
And we just want to expand that to 12. And not only is that medically sound, because as Dr. Lierley and Dr. Laura Hanks have told us that, you know, and I'll say this, I didn't know this so much, Jane, because I didn't really pay attention. I don't have children. My wife has never been pregnant. So this doesn't fall into my life, but now it does because we talk about it. A woman's body just doesn't snap back after pregnancy.
I'm
sorry,
no.
Don't get mad at me and laugh at me for saying that. But I think a lot of people, men, think that. And it takes some time. It's I believe Dr. Lierley calls it a traumatic body event, and it takes time to heal and get yourself. And that is just, and that, by the way, is if you have a relatively smooth pregnancy.
Exactly. No complications.
No complications.
Well, right. Just think about hormone levels. Your after you deliver, your hormones don't just automatically reset themselves within 24 hours.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
No.
So yes, there are numerous things that can go wrong post-birth. And that's why they want to expand this coverage for new moms for up to a year. So here's what happened yesterday. Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer tried to use a rarely used process to withdraw this bill that would expand this coverage from this committee where it has been sitting since February without a hearing. Because Robin doesn't want to bring it up.
Yeah.
So they wanted to use this special petition to move the bill so they could get it out onto the floor for a vote. If a majority of lawmakers had signed onto it, they could have forced a vote on it. However, Greta Neubauer says Assembly GOP leaders were told in advance about this.
First mistake.
And then they moved the bill to another committee where it has to sit for 3 weeks. What happens in 3 weeks? They're going to be gone.
Yep. Two things on that point. First of all, this is also not, this is only controversial in as much as we haven't passed this, unlike the 48 other states in America that have. But also, this is a bill that enjoys, I think Pat said it best this week. It's not even like, it shouldn't be called bipartisan. This is like a mandate. You have religious, scientific, pro-life, pro-choice. Everyone is on board. This is one where they all come to the table and say, yeah. This is the definition of a no-brainer, and it probably has very little to no chance of being taken up next year, as I'm going to keep saying this because we need to remind people, next year is their 10-month vacation.
Yeah.
They work 8 weeks, and then they're done for the rest of the year because it's not a budget year.
Right.
So therefore, they're going to get everything in they want to get in. They're going to make everything they feel important the spotlight, and it's not going to be about healthcare, education, childcare, gun safety, legalization of marijuana. None of that stuff is on the table. It's not going to be on the table because it never is. It's going to be about standing around, puttering around, doing this and that, a couple things, passing some bills, shaking some hands, and then guess what, everyone? We pay for their vacation.
For most of the year. And what jumps out at me about this in particular is the person who is preventing this legislation from even getting onto the floor for a vote is a childless man.
Hmm.
Robin Voss does not have children. I don't have children either.
I don't have children either.
But he is the one who gets to decide whether or not, for people who do have children,
yeah,
whether or not this will go forward.
And while we're talking, I'm going to find a clip of Robin Voss speaking to Luann Bird earlier this year about this topic. And I want people to hear his words speak so poorly on the topic, so ill-informed on the topic as well.
Well, he doesn't want to expand welfare. That's what he said the whole time. Neubauer told reporters, "This is a blatant effort by the speaker to prevent this bill from getting a vote on the floor. I hope my assembly Republican colleagues will stop being pushed around by their leader and will join us in getting this bill to the floor for a vote one way or another." A spokesperson for the Popcorn King did not immediately respond for a comment. Voss has been consistent in opposing the bill, saying he does not want to expand welfare programs.
Mm-hmm.
This measure passed the Senate in April, 32-1.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Robin's state. We just get to live here.
And he keeps on using that. He keeps on using that term,
the welfare.
But
again, we love babies and we want more women to have babies and we want young families to move here so they have babies. But we don't do anything to encourage them to come here when they have babies.
No. And this week there was an article, I believe, in the Wisconsin Examiner that we talked about with Pat regarding the whole fact that this is now getting national attention. ProPublica published a piece on Robin Voss specifically.
He must be so proud.
Not on stubborn GOP members, not on the MAGA strongholds. This was about Robin Voss himself in the national spotlight in ProPublica talking about the fact that this state still does not offer expanded Medicaid for new moms up to 12 months. And to me, he spins it as welfare, and it's not. This is not welfare. And in the article we cited, he is at a rally in the Capitol, in the rotunda, where it says pro babies, pro life, pro women.
Right.
So which one is it? Which one of those three are you? Because you can't be all three when you have an attitude like this.
Well, they wouldn't bring this up yesterday. Robin wouldn't bring this up for a vote. But guess what measures did come up? They were related to voting and voting restrictions. Interesting. We will talk about that next. Cindy, I see you on the line. We will take you on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Host of Amicus, a law review, Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network, Jim Santel, will be joining us after the 9:30 news. Oh, baby, there's a lot to talk about. Wow, this is what happens when you hire your least qualified cousins. But anyway, we'll get to that in just a little bit. Right before the break, we were talking about Popcorn King Robin Voss, of course, refusing to bring up to a vote expanding Medicaid coverage for new moms up to a year. Wisconsin and Arkansas, we're the only ones who don't.
And we've been talking about this for at least a year.
A long time. Yeah. Cindy from Appleton has been waiting on the phone. Thank you for your patience, Cindy. Good morning. What'd you want to say?
Cindy, you there, buddy? Okay.
Cindy, we got you?
We can't hear you, Cindy.
You may want to try back 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. So they didn't get around to that yesterday. You know what they did get around to?
Universal background checks,
no.
Full educational funding.
No.
Some child care tax credits?
Yeah, no. This from Wisconsin Public Radio, GOP elections bills advance in the Wisconsin Assembly. They approved a slate of GOP-authored election bills, including one that will change how absentee ballots are processed and eliminate the use of central count locations. What they don't include? You know what this does not include?
Getting rid of voter ID?
No, allowing us to process absentee ballots the day before.
Weren't they? Wait a minute. I'm confused. I thought there was a bill going through that was actually, and it was Republican led, that was trying to get it that the absentee ballots could be processed the day of, during the day, like during the entire day. They didn't have to wait for polls to close. They could take care of these and get them done so it would lessen the load for everybody involved.
And hopefully bring results in faster. That is the whole point.
Yeah.
Because Republicans continue to claim without evidence that there are these ballot dumps in the middle of the night and no one knows where they come from and they're all secretive and it's all sketchy. No, it's not. This happens because by law, they cannot count the absentee ballots until the polls close on election night. That takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't do that.
No.
Because they want to be able to continue to go to this and claim fraud.
And I think when you take a step back and you look at everything, first of all, Governor Evers is going to veto any of these bills that come through. Now it can go back for an override vote, but I think some of these are really for show because they know the governor's going to veto them. Then they automatically have a built-in argument when it comes back around. They'll get headlines. They'll get the rage bait they want. They'll get the press they want. And then people can go into their constituency and say, this is what we're trying to do to secure the election. But the question, the problem I have is choose a side, Republicans. Robin Voss says the elections are safe in 2020, so why are we doing this now? There's no evidence of widespread fraud or any sort of hinkiness. Ron Johnson himself said in the 2024 Olympics elections that in Milwaukee, the count was going well when he stood there and watched it happening. I was very shocked when it happened. And then you have a bill that says that you can count absentee ballots during the day to help lessen the load and make things easier for everyone so we can get those results quicker.
Faster.
Choose a lane, my friends.
No.
Because one time you're saying, let's do this. Then you're saying, let's do that. I mean, it's back and forth. Another example. Bank your vote. Voting early is great. Voting early is wonderful. Please bank your vote. And then 6 months later, this is the scourge of freedom.
Yes, this is evil.
It is going to destroy this democracy.
Yeah. The measures approved do not include a plan to start processing absentee ballots the day before.
Yeah.
An idea that has long enjoyed bipartisan support.
Mm-hmm.
Republican backers of the plan now say there's not enough GOP support to get it across the finish line because, again, they want to be able to continue using this as an excuse and casting suspicion about this. They have the opportunity to help fix it, and they won't.
And you know what the other thing too, Jane, is at the end of this, you know, we're sitting here talking about what seems like the absolute incompetence of some, is that it's such a minuscule news story in the vein of everything that their incompetency is not called out and they are not held responsible for doing what we've talked about before, which is you want to talk about trying to intimidate voters, trying to disenfranchise people? Look at the party who is consistently and always trying to pass laws that curb the ability to vote. It's in the Supreme Court. It's in our state houses. It's in our federal government. The party that's pointing the finger, they're the ones who probably don't want you voting.
And by the way, one more little tidbit here before we go to the news. They did include one thing very specific to one specific lawmaker.
Yeah.
They approved a bill requiring anyone who wants to recall someone from office to live in Wisconsin. This comes after twice failed efforts to recall Popcorn King Robin Voss.
Yeah.
Which he described as put together by out-of-state activists.
Well, people want you out of your job.
They were able to do that for the Popcorn King.
Yeah.
Just not for new moms and, you know, the rest of us. And well, but anyway.
Well, we'll see if he stands for re-election in 2026, because that's one of the probably the hottest question in Wisconsin politics. Will he run?
We have news.
Yeah.
On the way. And then when we return, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, will be here. Too bad there's absolutely nothing to talk about. That's all coming up.
We're talking about pretzel bites.
You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast statewide, countrywide. You can even pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Thursday at this time. You can also catch his show, Amicus, a Law Review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Jim Santel is here. Jim, I really wanted to replace your intro music with, I don't know, Benny Hill theme or Keystone Cops or something.
Right. Something could go well with a clown car, perhaps, right?
Three Stooges, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Right. Send in the clowns.
It's unbelievable. And I just want to share this one quote from Abby Phillips from CNN. It continues to be striking to me that the administration that keeps talking about merit-based keeps putting people who are not qualified into jobs, and then they make egregious mistakes, and then we're supposed to just ignore it as if it's not happening. This is what happens when you surround yourself with your least qualified cousins, because their only qualification is loyalty to Trump.
That's exactly right, Shane. It is a human, an HR lesson, is it not, in how to employ and not employ people in positions of responsibility. And yes, we can be lighthearted about some of this, but understand that what's going on, revealed just in the past week or so, is something that is hugely important.
Yes.
We have the nation, grand juries have indicted individuals alleging federal criminal offenses. That is the single most significant thing that a government can do with any of us. Yes, there's also the death penalty out there in some states, but this is at the top of the list. You've got to get this one right. It is not a matter of simply the president's latest outrageous linguistic gymnastics, that sort of thing. This is huge, and it compromises, frankly, not only these particular cases, which we will talk about, I am sure, but also the very nature of what our process is all about. Is there anybody in America, including me, including you, including your listeners, who looks at the grand jury process and thinks anymore, gosh, if this can happen inside this institution, which is the threshold to justice in America, can any of us be indicted?
Right.
What is the nature of our rule of law system in America? That's what's revealed. And that is the longstanding damage. How dare you, Pam Bondi? How dare you, Donald Trump? How dare you, Lindsey Halligan, abuse our system in this way? It is outrageous.
Well,
nothing short of that.
Let's talk about Lindsey Halligan and the case. Loose word there. Against Jim Comey, because that's where this is all coming from.
Right. She is, as we have spoken at great length on this wonderful broadcast, she is sent in, by a clown perhaps, but sent in by the president to indict his enemies, including Letitia James and James Comey. She does this within hours of arriving in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Eastern Virginia. She walks into the grand jury, interestingly alone, which suggests again that nobody wanted to help her. Nobody wanted anything to do with this. The previous U.S. attorney had vacated the field to get out from under this.
And that's right? that's an important point, right? Because the person who was in that position before her said, no, I'm not doing this. There's nothing here to charge him with. And then they replaced her with Lindsay Halligan, who was an insurance lawyer.
Right. Entirely honorable practice of law, insurance. I don't know anything about it. I would be incompetent, Jane and Greg, to do insurance law. And I would recognize that if you came to me and asked me to do some work. She goes in. And what did you discover? Again, three different hearings, last Thursday, Monday, and Wednesday. Hard to know which one to start with, because each one of them is a revelation of a bombshell about what happens inside and outside the grand jury. Let's go back to Monday. This is in front of the magistrate judge, who's responsible for some of the pretrial matters. He is looking at the grand jury transcripts of what happened on that day when she walked into the grand jury. And he says these three, and he's reading from the transcript. Again, astonishing things. He says, number one, this fundamental misstatement of law. The U.S. attorney told the grand jury that the putative defendant here, James Comey, will not have the right under the Fifth Amendment to avoid testifying at his own trial. What? What? That's the Fifth Amendment. That's James Madison. You don't have to be a lawyer. Everybody in America knows that. She just told them misstatement of the law. And oh, by the way, we can basically compel him to testify. It gets worse. The judge goes on to say, during the course of this presentation, she told the grand jurors that, you know what, you don't have to rely exclusively on the record before you, the things that we have presented to you as the finders of fact here to return this indictment. But you, and these are her words, you could be assured that the government has more evidence, perhaps even better evidence, that we'll present at trial.
What?
Oh my goodness.
So Lindsay Halligan went to the grand jury and said, the stuff that we are presenting to you is not all the stuff we have, but just trust me that I have more stuff. So you should do this.
Well, and really quick, that isn't surprising when you think about it. How many times has Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, or now Caroline Leavitt said to reporters, we'll show you that later, listening to John Sauer's testimony in front of the Supreme Court regarding what were you talking? Oh my gosh.
Tariffs.
Right. There's very much an air of don't worry about it. I believe what they think is that the people they're speaking to are as loyal as they are. So therefore they don't have to provide the information. They're like, Ed, I'll get to you later on the golf course. That's fine. No, but that really is that it is the, we'll show you later.
Yeah.
Or,
trust me.
Or it's fine. You know, that's not, we're not worried about that right now. Let's talk about this thing. That is the overarching theme of anybody who must defend this administration is obfuscate and meh, it's okay.
Yeah, right. And just trust us. You know, it comes from how many times has this president, first term and not so much this term, but first term said, you know what? 2 weeks from now, we're going to do that.
Yes.
Just trust me. 2 weeks from now, it's going to be infrastructure week. We're going to do this 2 weeks from now.
Healthcare.
And again, you know what, we can, again, it's outrageous in that setting, but we can sort of fluff that off and say, you know what, that's just him being Donald Trump. This is a presentation to a federal grand jury who relies upon the government to be honest about what the law is, to present the evidence that does in fact support this. There's also more indication, again, from the magistrate judge that maybe, I was always wondering, who is the agent who presented the information?
Yeah.
Turns out that the FBI, the sole witness, he may have inadvertently disclosed, yes, hold on, some attorney-client privileged matters. That is also a violation of the law in front of the grand jury. And oh, by the way, the upshot of this hearing on Monday was, this is not everything. This is the things that the judge viewed in the transcripts he has seen to this point. He has directed the extraordinary thing that the government provide the full record to the defense so that they can look at it. There is more coming out of this. These may be the highlights. Every single American should have their, his, her hair on fire about this. This is nothing short of that, in addition to the fact that it presages the complete destruction, the demise, the dismissal of these cases. It is coming. This is one of the three bases upon which these judges are going to get rid of this litigation. Ill-founded from the start, badly managed, incompetence, and defiance that, don't worry, again, as we're saying, we've got enough at trial. No, United States Attorney Halligan, that's not how this works. I know you don't know what you're doing. You should have said no to the president when he said to you, go over there beyond the Potomac River and be the United States Attorney. How many times have the three of us said, you know what? If I was asked to be the chief of staff for a major medical facility, I'd be flattered and I would say, absolutely not. I am not qualified to do this. This is more significant than that. It's the undermining of the rule of law in America. Mm-hmm. People have been charged with a criminal offense. The cases are certain to go away. Donald Trump will bemoan that. You know what he said when Jim Comey was initially indicted? Justice in America, all caps, exclamation marks.
That's mission accomplished, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. When these cases are dismissed, let's all say, justice in America. Again, regrettably that we had to go down this road at all. Regrettable also for Letitia James and for James Comey to be indicted. That is no small thing in America. I did that for 30 years. I was always very much aware of the fact that this is a huge power, a huge authority. I've got to get it just right. Yeah. And you do not play fast and loose, which is what this administration has done. How dare they? How dare they do this to the American judicial system?
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, our guest is Jim Santel. He is a former U.S. attorney and acting attorney and host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. We are talking about the government case against James Comey and this Lindsey Halligan that Donald Trump essentially set in there to sic her on James Comey. And I just to, again, do a little wrap on this, Jim. Essentially, Lindsey Halligan went to the grand jury. They rejected several charges.
Yes.
Then instead of going back with the new charges, taking it back to the complete grand jury, she talked to like three members of the panel and then gave that approval. That's not how that works. You take it to the entire grand jury, right? You don't get to selectively pick, well, I'll show this one and this one and this one.
That sounds like it's almost like, forgive me for saying this, but that almost sounds like tampering then. If you're only picking certain people and you're not presenting to everyone, that doesn't seem, that seems very bad. Wow.
And that's over and above. That's after she made all these misstatements. Then she's got these two drafts of the indictment. We know that one had three counts, one had two. We've talked about this before. The grand jury comes back and says, no, no, we're not indicting on that other count. So now she's got these two. They make reference again to a first person, a third person. There's no second person. It's a mess. And she goes back, as you've just accurately said, Jane, and she goes back to the four person, maybe others, and says, you know what? I just made some changes here.
Here's
my pen. Sign off on this, will you? Absolutely wrong. You know, there are three words for that. It's called grand jury abuse. Okay.
Yeah.
Government misconduct. And what, again, there are times, frankly, when you, as a prosecutor, you go in and maybe you've got a number transposed, something else that's out there, and you go back and you say, members of the grand jury, I realize that the section number under which in the caption has been transposed, let me change this and I will come back. And you know what you do? You come back and you reread every single word of the new document, and everyone then votes on the new document. That's not just being procedurally precise. That's a constitutional mandate that the grand jury decide on a case and approve of an indictment based on what's before them. And it underscores once again that the indictment that the magistrate judge looked at in the end, she was also confused. She says, which one of these? Absolutely. These cases are messy, beyond messy, and they're also subject, not just subject, they need to be dismissed. Paul, this is misconduct of the highest levels.
Paul from Spooner, listening on WAUK, says James Comey has a huge lawsuit coming against the DOJ and Trump. And we'll talk about Lindsey Halligan's future as an attorney when we continue. Jim Santel is here to talk all things legal. Stay with us. Whoop whoop boing.
It's a good song.
To Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jay Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Thursday to talk all things legal. The host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11. Jim Santel is here right before the break. Jim, we were talking about the Trump administration's case against Jim Comey, really just kind of blowing up in their faces. And Lindsey Halligan, this insurance attorney who got tapped by Trump to step in and handle this. What could be the possible fallout for her?
She's got to be, again, she is a human being. She's got to be feeling professionally and personally very, very uncomfortable right now. Are there bar consequences for this? Telling a grand jury that an individual does not have Fifth Amendment rights? Yes, there are. You can get in trouble for those kinds of things. So that is out there. As your very astute caller, your author of one of his texts coming in, does James Comey, in addition to fighting back on this case, does he have a cause of action against your United States government? You bet he does. Yeah. It's called malicious prosecution. And that's based upon an issue we're not even talking about right now, which is whether this was vindictively prompted in the first place, right? She is facing an awful lot of problems, as is the Attorney General of the United States of America. The Attorney General, who along the way, when it came to this authorization issue, whether Lindsey Halligan could be the U.S. attorney at all, she authors a document and says, I'm going to make her a special attorney. And that covers it. And once again, Greg and Jane, as you said before, she's basically saying, that's okay. Just trust me. Now we've got the imprimatur of my signature.
It's
now
all good.
Move on, right? It's all good. And as to that, to add even more to this, we're talking about the two hearings of just this past week. A week ago, there's another judge. Her name is Cameron McGowan Curry. She's brought in because of some conflicts among the judges, appropriately, in that district. And she also says during the course of the question about whether or not Lindsey Halligan is properly appointed there, she gasps in the courtroom when she asks this question. She says, government, can you tell me if the classified documents case, the Mar-a-Lago documents case in Florida against Donald Trump was incorrectly dismissed? And everyone's thinking, what are you talking about? Well, what she's talking about, remember Eileen Cannon?
Yes.
Federal District Court judge.
Yes.
Who said, you know what? I've got to dismiss this case because Jack Smith was not confirmed by the United States Senate. He was not properly there. Therefore, the case goes. This very astute judge reaches back into our recent history and says, if that case had to go, doesn't this one? Gasps in the courtroom as people realize she's right. There's a thing called precedent. So we've got a lack of authorization to do this. We've got grand jury abuse, and we've got vindictive prosecution. Could we have anything? And it's just Thursday morning, right? What else is going to happen in the next week or so? These cases are doomed, as is, by the way, as is Letitia James' case. We're talking about Comey in particular, also suffering from the same authorizations and vindictive prosecution issues. These cases are going to go away, another blot on American history by this president, by this attorney general.
Well, and again, how can you come to a jury and say that this is not Trump directed when he is all over social media saying, prosecute these people, they're terrible.
Right, right. And that also is part of the exchange with the magistrate judge earlier. It's almost takes second chair to these other outrages. But the magistrate judge is also saying, isn't this a source of vindictiveness? Again, the district court judge, who's also reviewing all of this, also asks about that. His name, for what it's worth, is Nachmanoff. Remember that name, Nachmanoff. He's the district judge who's going to decide all this in the end. He also says, I'm looking at this. Is there any way that this is not vindictive? The government attorney tries to explain it as just normal. And you can tell the judge is rolling his eyes in disbelief. belief. Absolutely. During the course of the same hearing, again, I'm thinking about how uncomfortable this must have been. The judge, about this grand jury document, asked Halligan to stand up. Stand up, Ms. Halligan, in court, and answer my question. Was the entire grand jury, they have the opportunity to see the second indictment? To her credit, she doesn't lie. She says it had not. He thanks her and tells her to sit down. That's a judge who's made up his mind. That happened yesterday in the district court in Eastern Virginia. Oh, my goodness.
That was essentially a slap from the judge.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And a signal about what he's going to do here.
I also think it's really interesting that we are giving a lawyer credit for standing up and telling the truth.
Right. Right.
Like, yes. That's right.
But that's so it's so rare right. now. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. that has right. to be pointed out. That's not right, a
right.
lie. Wow.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And because, of course, they're getting all the transcripts. I note that out of surprise, because one of the things this administration does, even knowing they will be discovered today, how do we get through today? And if we need to lie today, even though tomorrow will be found out, we'll do that too. They've done that all across the board in other federal district courts. Guatemalan children, we lied about the reasons for deporting them. I can go on. We can all go on. And Judge Boasberg, Judge Zinnes, all have been lied to by this administration. Now it's brought to the fore, and we're going to see the dismissals of these cases. I hope in the end that Judge Nachmanoff issues a three-part order on all of these and says no authorization, grand jury of Bruce, and oh, by the way, Mr. President, vindictive prosecution. I hope he doesn't seize on just one of them and dismisses it. Do all of this, Judge, and get rid of this and send this message to this president. You don't behave this way.
Jim Santel is host of Amicus, a law review. It's fantastic. Listen to it Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 across the network. Thank you so much, Jim. We will see you in 2 weeks. Next week is Thanksgiving. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jamie. Greg, take care.
You as well. News is coming up next when we return. Oh, Grandma doesn't need a Christmas present. Come on. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.